Hello, my friends, and welcome to the first Space Game Junkie podcast of 2015. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Potatoes.
Yes. Oh. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to 2015. Hey, Knack in the chat room. How you doing? We kind of have a random show tonight because I'm still recovering from the holiday. So I didn't really have the energy or time to plan anything. So we're just going to talk about a bunch of shit tonight.
Fantastic.
So, fantastic.
Yes.
So I have to apologize because we did a podcast right before Christmas about sales and stuff, and I never put it up.
Yeah, sales over. Jokes on you.
We're recording podcast 89. Wow, we're almost to 100, dude.
It's almost.
Believe that? We're going to be 100 in like a couple of months.
Proximity.
Oh, my God. What are we going to do?
On me like underwear.
I will. You know what? I'm going to try to get Braven for number 100. That's what I'm going to try and do. Get the Brave. Get the...
the Braven. The
Braven. Sir Braven. I think he was knighted, was he? So I think he's
for
Sir Braven.
Game? It ain't even done yet.
Well, no. I think the original.
Oh.
I think he was knighted for the original. Though he should be knighted for the new one. Because, damn. We're going to talk about that. So how was your Christmas, Jim? Did you get anything awesome?
Well, I showed you the picture. That was what I got.
You did
That's
show
what
me
I got
the picture.
Me
That's what you got you.
She's
you
like,
got
what
you...
should I get you? You have stuff. And I was like, yes. So how about this? And she was like, okay. So I kind of got it for myself. But, yes, the Klingon Bird of Prey Haynes manual. The owner's workshop manual.
So
it's fortunately not written in Klingon. So
I really hope they start doing that for more ships. They also have one for the Millennium Falcon. And they do have one apparently for the classic Enterprise, the original series one. But apparently that one's not very good.
No, it's so, I have it. It's not the greatest thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But apparently the one for the Bird of Prey is quite good. That's
what I've been reading. Yes, it is. I'm happy. Yeah. I wish that they had one for the D7 because that's really the one. Because that's my ship right there.
Those are the two iconic. I think for me, my favorite Klingon ship is the Bird of Prey. There's just something about the versatility and the lines on that ship that just make me really love it. But I see where you're coming from. The D7... the classic, the backbone of the Imperial fleet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what started, though. That's what got us into Klingon. Ooh, look at that Klingon ship with the long neck and the bulbous head. That ship, I can see where you would want one. But I wonder who's making these things. Like, can we request them? Like, because I would love one of the Defiant.
Oh, yeah. That would be
obviously.
Nice. Have you seen the patch for the Defiant? It's like the Centauri shipyards or whatever it is. It's like a sew-on patch thing, but they did it kind of almost like the shark face thing, right? But it's cute. You just have to see it.
Oh, I have to find that.
I don't know if it's something that actually got made or they whatever it was that they did.
I will sew that onto my man bag.
Man sack.
My current man sack, yes. So you got yourself a Klingon D9, a Bird of Prey manual, which is awesome. I love that that kind of shit exists. I love that that exists. And over the break, did you play as much Elite Dangerous as I did? Because I played quite a bit.
Essentially all that I've been playing is Elite Dangerous, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the deal.
Yeah, me too. But I think we seem to have divergent opinions about how we feel about the game itself.
Well, my problem is that I would like to interact with other humans. I have an option to not interact with other humans because I can play in offline. But when I play online, I want to see people, and I don't. I went to Earth, right? And there was one person. And it's like
there's really nothing going on at Seoul.
Yeah,
right
well,
now. Like
you know what I mean though, right? It's just like I've been to the systems, like I was lurking on the forums and it's like, well, where's what going on? And they had in like Hosi, they had a player started rebellion, so I flew all the way out there. That was like 150 light years, and there's nothing. And then
And this isn't open.
Yeah,
too,
yeah, it's
right?
totally. And I'm seeing wow. nothing. So what I'm thinking, is going on is it's just their netcode stuff that it just doesn't bother.
Yeah.
And I kind of see why, because I went into that conflict zone in WoW 359. There actually is one there. So yeah. if you want to go fight people, there was one other human there. But apparently it made him the host or something, because then my game got like ridiculously laggy and all the ships were rubber banding around, and it was just like, yeah, I'm not even going to pull my hard points out because this won't end well at all. So.
Right. I spent like a day flying to Lave, and, I just had a great time in the area. That's where I saw you, but you're now not there
yeah.
anymore. But
yeah, well, you know, that was a thing that we should mention too, that we jumped in and were playing, and we had whoever your buddy was that was in there with us.
Oh, Greasy yeah. Pig, Dave, Greasy
and,
Pig.
Yeah, so he was in there with us, and we
yeah.
I could see him, and he could see me, and we could both see you, but you couldn't see any of us, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, what's going on here? So.
Yeah, they got to get their instancing. And I'm really hoping that grouping, which they said they're going to do early this year.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that grouping will help fix that. Because, yeah, right now, I mean, I've run into other pilots flying around in resource extraction zones and at nav beacons, and it's like, hey, how you doing? And that's, you know, what else do? You just wave. And, oh, let's shoot at that guy. Maybe I'll get the bounty, maybe you will. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's
yeah.
one of us might. Or we might not. I don't know. If we don't shoot him in the last 10 seconds or something, we don't get it. So, I don't fucking know. The game still does obviously have some problems. I mean, it's hard to find where the action, as you were saying, is. And if you don't make your own, if you want to run into more people and you want to be more involved in the story element, I mean, yeah, you could chase the news, but this is a big fucking
game. Oh,
yeah,
it's huge, right?
You
so
know,
it's tough to find people unless you look at, you know, hey, there's a thing going on in this particular place, all right? So people will go there. If you say that there's an event, right? But other than that, people will just be all over the place. And that's okay, too. You know, because, I mean, what is it, like 4 billion stars that's in the thing or something?
And that's what worries me. I mean, say what you want about Jumpgate. It was a smaller universe, but because of that, when it was populated, it was much easier to see people, much easier to find people. It was all one server. There was really no instancing.
Yeah.
And it was much easier to say, I'm going to be in this system at this station. And that was it. And so, yeah, I mean, Jumpgate had, what, 50 to 100 systems, I think? Maybe 50-ish?
Yeah, there was one person per system, basically, when we logged in. I don't know, man. Jumpgate wasn't my deal because it was basically like, let's fight the pink monsters, the pink space tentacles.
At least it had space monsters.
Yeah, but that's
you know,
the
right?
thing. I would have been happy, you know, like pirates, something. I don't know. Just
yeah,
not,
that's the
not
thing. There
weird
weren't
alien blobs.
There weren't AI pirates. There weren't AI pirates. That really would have helped
that
game.
Well, just
if there were
blobs
like,
are not my thing.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, let me fight other ships that are like my own, right? Not something that doesn't play by the rules. Because those things, it was like space amoebas or something, right? And they would just shoot and fly around really fast. But they didn't seem to obey the same laws of physics that I had to. So, I don't know. I did not dig it.
Yeah. Huh. So yeah. But, I mean, the thing is, Jumpgate got a few things right that Elite could learn from, I think. There are a few things. One, Jumpgate had a galaxy-wide chat.
Yes. Oh, God, the chat. That's a big problem, right? Like, I'm in the IRC channel. If you go over to QuakeNet, then there's an Elite Dangerous channel on QuakeNet, Elite-Dangerous. And a lot of people
official channel, I'm guessing.
Are in here, like, I don't know, a couple hundred. But the thing is, like, nobody's in the same system, right? So
yeah,
they're all, like, doing their thing. And but at least it gives you a place to talk about what's going on, right? So
right. Like the thing with JumpGate is it was a little clunky, but you had you could have a private chat with someone, you could have a galaxy-wide chat with everyone who was playing, or you could have a chat with people who were just in your system, you know, just in your local system. I mean, it was a little clunky, but it worked really well, and Elite Dangerous would really do well by implementing something similar. What I'd also love to see them implement that JumpGate got right was the simulator. Remember this?
Sort of. Was it just like remember, you go there in and pick a ship and then pick what level enemies you wanted to fight and it just threw you out there?
Yes, you could turn on simulator mode, and then when you did, you could fly any ship.
Oh, yeah,
ship,
and you could fight against other people, too, that were in simulator.
And you could fight against other people, and you could fight against the AI. So you could practice mining and docking and fighting and
see,
all
that
these
would be
things.
Fun in Elite if it was just like my ship is not at risk. And I can join in a simulator, and then other pilots that want to jump in the simulator can come in with me, right? Like, I could just put up a server and just be like, fight's on. You can't jump out of the system.
Right, right. And the nice thing about the simulator is, since there were, like, different ones with, like, rings and stuff, you could have, like, we're going to have a tournament today in the ring simulator where everyone who joins has to fly through the ring. Like, you could have, like, events and tournaments in the simulator that wouldn't affect people's real investment in time, you know, with their ships and stuff, you know. So it really worked well. I mean, it was a great place to learn without worrying about destroying the ship you had just saved up.
Yeah, you know, I'm finding out, too, that four. Whenever you're continuously, like, buying and selling components, you're losing a lot of money in Elite. I thought that it was paying you back fairly close, but no.
No, you do lose a little bit.
Yeah, because I've got a ship that's worth about $1 million, and it says that I've spent $6 million already in upgrades.
Jesus Christ.
So, well, what I do, right, is like I was trying to solve this problem of I can't get to the places that I want to go. Like, you know, I wanted to go over to like where the Empire was. So this is a thing that I'm trying to figure out is that I want to pick an enemy, right? And because I don't want to be a pirate and just be hunted by everybody. But I want to pick a particular faction and decide that I don't like them. And I'm going to go and pirate the shit out of their cargo ships and just be a total douche to them. But then I want a safe system that still loves me, that perhaps doesn't like those guys. And that's what I'm kind of – I don't understand about what's going on politically in Elite is you see – okay, so there's like – there's neutral, there's Federation, there's Alliance, and Empire, right?
Right.
So, and I see the neutral systems change hands, like what happened to me, unfortunately. See, the Empire is the only place where slavery is legal. So, the slaves were selling for a lot. I was making, $1,200 a ton hauling slaves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Abe Lincoln wouldn't have approved, but, you know. But there was two planets. One of them was neutral, and they sold them. But the only people that will buy them is Empire planets. And there was one Empire planet that was within 100 light years of where I was. That thing just silently changed hands. And then it was suddenly a Federation planet, like overnight.
Whoops.
Because I had a cargo hold full, right? I had like my entire bank wad was invested in the 24 tons of slaves that I was carrying. And then I fly there and I can't sell them. Because now we're Federation, we don't even have that on the menu anymore, and it's like,
I mean,
what
it's
kind
of cool that it's kind of cool that that can happen, but
well,
I totally
and there was no mention of it, right? And like, I land at the space station, and nothing different, and I look at the news ticker over on the side, and it's like, oh yeah, the Emperor's got a cold or whatever. Who cares, dude? The government changed yesterday. You know, we don't have any news about that. Come on, so. Whatever. I think, honestly, they should have, like, a faction flag or something in the station when you know, or some shit that – but, yeah, but it was totally silent. I had to go look. That's – I guess my problem with the game right now is complete lack of feedback on things that are happening. And I understand that's a polish phase thing, not a feature thing. So they need to get the features done, and then they can put the bling in. But it's a thing that I can't wait till they actually do it. That's all.
Yeah. And I think they will. I mean, more and more people are getting interested in this game, which is great. And I don't know if you've noticed, but joysticks are selling out left and right.
Really?
Like a lot of people are trying to buy the Thrustmaster HOTUS X, you know, that $50 stick and throttle setup, which is a really apparently really nice entry level HOTUS.
Yeah.
Works with the PS3 too, apparently.
Yeah, my
everything.
Go-to is the Logitech 3D because I've got full HOTUS. It's in the closet. I don't need it for this.
Right.
But the Logitech stick, it's perfect because it's got twist, and I set the roll of the ship to twist on the stick, and it just makes perfect sense to my brain. So then I'm not leaning the stick left and right to actually roll the ship. I twist the stick and I twist the ship. So it's that's why I can come in and land with my frickin' afterburners on, because my brain just understands it. I don't hit the door. But it's annoying, though, whenever I try to land and I hit the wrong key and I actually throttle up instead of nudge the thruster forward, I actually jam the throttle all the way up and then crash into stuff. So, and it's always when I want to show off to somebody. It's like, hey, look at this. And I go ping-ponging around inside the station. But, yeah, I don't know. I just want to see more people. That's all. I don't want it to turn into EVE Online or anything. I just want there to be people around.
I think it'll come in time. I think as more people find out about how great the game is, I mean, I'm seeing more and more people on Reddit and the forums
they have a population problem. I think it's just the netcode just rejects, is what I think's going on.
See, what I was thinking is right now the universe is so huge that with the population of just the beta and the people who, bought in, it's probably not, going to see a lot of people.
Well, possibly. I don't know. I wonder, commercially, are they stable at this point? Did they get enough money from the funding to actually fund everything? How much did they get?
Probably.
I don't even remember what the Kickstarter ended up at.
From Kickstarter, I don't remember, but
60 million?
They've gotten but they've gotten a lot of people buying into the beta and everything since then, and a lot of people bought the final version, and people are still buying it. So, and remember, expansion packs are coming, so there'll be revenue from that.
Oh, yeah, that. I would spend more money if they would have an external camera so that I could actually see how cool my ship looks when I would buy that $10 skin to put on it. Well, I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah.
The only time I see the outside of my ship is when I'm in the shipyard putting new guns on it. So,
I mean, they're going to add walking around stations and plants and planetary landings and stuff. So, I mean, Guild Wars 2 has a similar model, and it's still kicking. It's been around for a couple of years. And Guild Wars 1, I think, was kicking for a long time, and it had a similar model. So it can work, I think. I mean, Guild Wars 1 had 3 expansion packs, and I don't think the second one has had any, and it's still pretty vibrant, So why not? I mean, look, Lord of the Rings Online is still going. That's free.
True. Yeah.
So I think this is going to be viable for some time, especially if they – now, where I think they could make a lot of money, and I don't know how much it would cost them, but they could make a lot of money with voice packs.
Yes.
For the ship's computer.
Yep. One thing that I saw a video. Somebody was flying, and instead of having an orange HUD, they had a blue HUD, and I'm like, what? And
yeah, you can change that in like an XML.
Oh,
file.
Really? Okay, yeah. I thought it was like came with a skin or something because.
No. It's an XML file. There's actually. Hang on, I can give you the. I think I might still have the link. There it is. I'm sending you this website. It tells you how to do all this stuff. You can change the color, and then you have to go and find this one XML file, and then change 3 lines. And it tells you, and then you can have like I changed mine to blue, and it was all right. I changed it to red, and it was okay. But I'm like, I kind of like the orange. It kind of works.
Yeah, because it's good against anything, because whatever
color,
exactly. Unless it's like a sun, right? Because those are orange.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But everything else, whatever color the planet or whatever is, then it's not going to wash it out. So, yeah,
exactly.
It works
all right. So I keep it at Yeah, but you can change it. It's not it. The site I sent you shows you exactly how to do it. So that's pretty cool.
They would have an intense community if they allowed skinning in the game.
Maybe they will. But I want voice packs. Like TomTom did this for a while. Remember this, where you can buy a voice pack for your GPS? Absolutely. Remember that? And Waze is kind of still doing it. They had Terry Crews. You know Terry Crews?
Office linebacker.
They just had him do a voice for Waze. Oh, it might have been that one. It was one of those guys. I think it was Crews. But I want a Brian Blessed voice pack for my ship. You know Brian Blessed Hawk is, right?
Dive.
Yes. I want Brian
Blessed. Just every time you hit something, he's like, ha ha ha. You know, and
exactly. Yeah. Ho, you're under attack. Shoot them. You know.
Speaking of voice stuff, because you got voice attack, and so did I. Did you buy the Elite voice stuff?
Okay. Yes.
So that's pretty cool. I didn't realize that everything in there was actually pre-recorded MP3s. So,
yeah, I thought that's why it's several hundred megabytes.
Yeah, because you know you can make your own stuff with voice attack and then tell it to just use text to speech, and for not so much, right? Like $20 or whatever, you can get those alternate text to speech voices. So I could have like an Australian girl as my cockpit computer or whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So that's interesting to me. Although how is it doing for you with the speech recognition itself? Did you have to do a lot of training?
I had trained it twice, and I'm still finding that I probably speak a little too fast for it. You know, because I'm from Philly and shit.
Well, I have
so
to enunciate purposefully on some things.
Yeah, on some things I have to be like, I'll be like chaff. Chaff.
Yeah, you know, just exactly. A couple like, of things. It's the problem that I've got with it. It's very cool, right? But the problem that I see is that I am far faster with my fingers on the keyboard. So it's kind of like if I'm feeling lazy and want to do whatever, then sure. But if I'm in a fight, there's no way I'm relying on that thing.
No, I don't. I only rely on it for like one or two things, and that's why I don't feel like taking my hand off the joystick to launch chaff or something.
Well, that's the thing though that I see. Windows 10, they're talking about they're going to take Cortana from the Windows Phone, and they're going to bring that to the desktop. So what makes that very interesting is that it does all of its speech recognition processing in the cloud. And it is very, very, very accurate because it's been trained by, a couple million people that have been using the phone for 6 months.
Just like Google's
yeah, exactly.
Thing.
Every voice vendor thingy has that, right? So it would be very interesting if Google, let's just look at theirs because it's Google, if they would open that API and let me hook my voice attack thing to the speech recognition engine there, right? So it would be turbo crazy accurate. At the point that it's accurate like that, I'm going to run the whole damn computer with it because I'm going to just have it fire up with Windows, and then I'm going to put in, like every application that I run, and then I'll be like Scotty talking to the mouse. Hello, computer.
Hello, computer.
Yeah. But yeah, seriously, like, how many times a day do I go and have to hunt for calc exe, right? So, and I could just be like, hey, load the calculator. Boop, there it is. So, that's what I think's going to be more useful to me with voice attack is once I get the machine running using it. But
well, one thing I kind of like about voice attack is you get with this pack, you get audible feedback for certain things, which is nice in some situations.
Have you looked at how it's programmed? Because he's got the multi-step command stuff in there that does.
Yeah. It's very nice. I mean, and you can make multi-step. I've made a couple multi-step things where when I'm like done bounty hunting, I'll say time to go. It'll retract the weapons, equalize the power, and then hit the frame shift drive. You know, that's the best thing voice attack is for, is saving time like that.
Yeah, you
like,
macro things.
I Exactly. In macro things, like when I'm in a tight situation, I'll say run away, and it'll like, okay, we're going to retract weapons, we're going to boost the engines, we're going to get you the fuck out of here, and we're going to frame shift. Yep. You know? So it's great for that stuff. It's really great for that stuff. But for a lot of commands, you don't need it. But it's kind of fun to say, you know, landing gear down. Like, I can't wait to set it up with Klingon Academy once I have like a free half day or something. Because that's going to be great. Because I did that with remember Game Commander back in the day? Back. Yeah, I did that with Klingon Academy back in the day, and it was great. It was so great. So I definitely want to set that up with – that would be perfect for Klingon Commander. I wonder if that would work with Rules of Engagement too. Ooh. Ooh, I should try it. I bet you it
would. That might be pretty cool.
Yeah. That's true. Anyway, so yeah, folks, lots of Elite Dangerous. What else were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah.
Stuff that's coming up in 2015, all right? Like the
– Well, hopefully Enemy Starfighter. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to is it Rogue Universe? Rebel Universe. That's it. I know I screwed up, so the first one that I want to say, I know it's the other one. So Rebel Galaxy. Yeah, the that one too. The Rebel Galaxy. Gosh.
Yeah, 2015 is going to be a good year, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the only problem with that game is I cannot remember the name of it. I love it, but I cannot remember the name of it. Yeah, have you messed with the build that we've got? Because they continue to update it.
I have not messed with it in a little while, but I see it keeps getting updated. But I just
pleasantly surprised that they're updating that publicly for us. So very nice.
Nice. It's going to be a good year. I mean, Limit Theory should hopefully come out this year, and Elite Dangerous is just going to keep getting updated. We're going to have Enemy Starfighter. We're going to have more. Probably we're going to see more Star Citizen. This is going to be a good year.
Limit Theory, maybe.
Hopefully.
That's looking like a cool game, but it looks like massive feature creep could be a real thing with that, too.
I'm kind of hoping that now Galactos has been approved on Greenlight, that they'll update it a little more frequently. I would love that game to come out.
Yeah, he said he was 800 and some days on Greenlight before they got greenlit.
Not surprised. Hey, Greenlight is an inherently broken system anyway.
It is terrible.
So I'm not surprised.
So Dreadnought. I don't know, man. That's kind of looking interesting to me.
It's like a MOBA. It's like a MOBA with aerial spaceships.
Well, that's the thing that's freaky is it's like giant star destroyers, but they're in the atmosphere. There's no space. It's a spaceship game without the space. I don't understand that. That's weird. So I like it because it's weird. Yeah. What can I say? I like weird things.
And a lot of people are looking forward to No Man's Sky this year, which
that's going
to
be another single multiplayer game. That
I'm not sure about it because we have. I mean, what we've seen looks pretty, but I mean, what kind of depth is there?
Yeah,
you know.
So I'm liking. I don't think there's any spaceships in it, right? Because you crashed your ship. But that exploring game, was it Planet Explorers? I think it is. It's like a Minecraft on an alien planet.
I've seen it. It's been on. I kind of want it, but I never have gotten it. It's good.
Yeah,
you're enjoying
cool.
it.
I mean, they finally dropped it to $20, and I was like, okay. So, yeah. I mean, for early access, that's kind of expensive to be like $25.
I'm kind of hoping Paragon. I'm kind of hoping Paragon gets finished this year. That'll be a fun game once it's done.
Yeah, and what's the other one? It's Broken something? The one with the space battleships in it. It's or Fractured Space. That's it.
That's already out.
It's early access. It's not released.
Is it early access?
They're not anywhere near done with it. Although we should play it because it's kind of fun. There's just not enough people.
I keep forgetting I have it. I'll be honest.
Every time I log in, there's like 10 people playing, and they're all in London because there's a London server, and there's nothing really in the States, right? The London server is a little bit laggy, but you know it is
London.
But it's you know, it's also like an unoptimized game with the netcode and stuff, so it's like I'm not expecting it to be buttery smooth or whatever. So that like 100 milliseconds kind of hurts. But But it's a the game has so much potential because it's kind of a MOBA, right? But you don't have the creeps, right? So have you played like Dota or League of Legends at all? Okay.
No.
League of Legends, you really you owe it to yourself. Download it, play it. Seriously. Don't play Dota. Dota's a hellhole. But the deal, it's like playing a RTS game, but you only control one guy. And everything else happens around you, right? So there's three lanes that go across the map, and you know, it's so there's like the middle, the left, and the right. And you'll have armies of disposable dudes that will spawn back at your base, and they run up those roads, right? So you have to support your guys and kill the enemy's guys, right? And they call them creeps, right? And it's just like little AI dudes that have no brain. They just run into each other, and they're equally powered, so without a human there to influence it, they'll just annihilate each other and be stagnant. Right. So you just kind of have to tip the scale of the battle. So this game is a game that's very similar to that. In fact, there's lanes, except that you have to jump between them, right? But there's like, you know, there's a middle and a left and a right. And it's, well, where's the battle going to be kind of thing. And but there's no creeps, though. So it would be interesting if there was AI something to shoot at, you know, that wasn't other players. But then again, I don't know, if there's enough other players, you don't really need that. So it's big capital ships, and they, you know, big ships that move slow, don't turn very well. There's a lot of broadsides and stuff going on. So it's interesting, and the ships are different roles, right? So there's like the big tank, and there's the snipery ship and the missile boat and the, you know. So it's interesting. But it's very early. I mean, you can tell. There's no balance stuff going on yet or anything. So you could have like a team of people in super dreadnoughts fighting a team of people that are in little frigates. You know, it doesn't really tell you what the other team's got. So it's like, why not just come in and pick the biggest ship, right? So
it's funny you brought up Greenlight, because like 10 space games got greenlit over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, dude, like, there has been a pile of okay, so if you go to greenlightupdates.com,
which is an awesome site, that's thank very you, by nice. The way. Yeah, it kind of makes no sense how they're doing it.
Well,
anymore.
They've just lost their minds. Like, how it works. Okay, I don't know what these,
like, here's 10 and here's 50 well, so, and here's dude, 20 and here's 10 and here's 5. And
it was like Christmas Day. Like, what? Wow, 100 games. So it was pretty weird. Okay, so there's Space Station Alpha, Subspace Continuum, which I assume is an extension of Subspace, right?
Wait. So, I'm not sure if that was that. I saw that, but I wasn't sure if that was a space game.
Remember old Subspace? Know?
I do, but it didn't look like Subspace from the screenshots I saw. It looked like planetary shit, so I wasn't sure about that one.
So, boy, a lot
but
of
the ones I wrote down.
It's just.
The ones I wrote down are Solar War, which is pretty good. That's actually already out on Steam now. He put it up the next day. Yeah. And like Untold Universe, Destination Sol, which I'd actually never heard of. Space Station Alpha.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, I'm looking at Space Station Alpha right now, and it's like, well, we have the abandoned Double Fine Space Station game. Do we really need another? I don't know.
Yeah, Ascent, our buddy at Ascent, so that's good for him. Galactos, our good friends there. Gangs of Space, which I don't know a hell of a lot about.
By the way, Subspace Continuum is the old school Subspace game, like brought
is
back.
It?
Yeah,
I'll have to add that to the list.
Yeah, I just looked at a video of it, and it's the old school. Doesn't look changed at all. So that's
really
what it is. Yeah.
So
it's still rocking.
Is it Continuum?
1984 graphics.
Is it Continuum? Is it Subspace Continuum?
Subspace Continuum.
Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, because its website was just Continuum, but here it's Subspace Continuum.
Well, they want to let you know what it is, I guess. So did you see this Andromeda 5?
What's that?
I don't know. Something. Spaceships, battle cruisers, enormous galaxies, intense battles.
Is that on Steam?
Just got greenlit.
What? I've never heard of this.
Oh, and it runs on a browser. Puke. Why did this even need greenlit? Stunning graphics in your browser.
That, That doesn't
that
make
would be
any
like
sense.
Wings of Satan, Nazar, whatever, getting greenlit. Wow, so their graphics, the movie that they have at the beginning, looks like Star Citizen. And then they get into the game itself, and it looks like...
What's the game called again?
Andromeda 5. They get into the game, it looks like StarCraft, but their promo video makes it look like Star Citizen. It's hilarious.
I can't find it. Am I spelling Andromeda wrong? How do you spell
Andromeda? A-N-D-R-O-M-E-D-A. Fuck.
Yeah. What? What is the name of that thing again? That
GreenlightUpdates.com.
Okay, hang on.
It was greenlit on 2nd of January. It's been there for like a year and a half. Like languishing around in Greenlight land. What's funny, right, is a lot of these games have been laying trying to get greenlit for like 2 years, and then you go look at them and they really haven't done anything with the game. It was like, oh, we made enough game to get a thing on Greenlight, and then we've just been leaving it sit until it's like, oh, well, okay.
What the hell is
so,
this?
Yeah, so there's Ascent, the space game.
Yeah, so we got that, and we got a few others. But Deep Space Settlement, our good buddies at Deep Space Settlement, got a green lit for them. And Quintet, you know, that multi-station bridge sim.
Yeah.
That got green lit. So now both that...
And Plunger Lunger.
And both that and Artemis are going to be on Steam, which is nice.
Plunger Lunger got green lit. I'm so happy for them.
What the hell is that?
I have no idea. It's terrible. It's, apparently... Plunger Lunger is a 2D speedrun grapple hook game where the player must traverse 15 levels in the fastest time possible with hilariously gruesome deaths. And it has a bathroom plunger thing motif. That's like your health bar or something. Bathroom plunger.
What?
This is terrible. Why is my game not greenlit and Plunger Lunger? Oh, God.
How long has Plunger Lunger been...
How, dude, how did it happen?
I don't see. That's what I'm saying. Greenlight is a fucking mess.
We have
mess.
A fucking done game. It's done, right? We're like 2 weeks out from release at this point. The shit is done.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're in like polish, and we got like two more units and a faction thing to go, but that's just like plug it in there kind of thing, right? So, you know, and at this point, you know, we were talking about like, what's going on. And we're getting to the phase now where we have to start contacting YouTubers and stuff because the media, we got a really nice article, like super, super nice out of Space Sector. They did a really great job. Yeah. Tech Raptor covered us.
So did I.
But that's, you know, I can't really like pimp your site because we're
would
on.
Have covered you.
Well, but we can't because it's like regardless. An ethics thing, right? Because,
well, yeah, I mean, I got a copy of the game, and I did coverage
yeah,
of it,
which is fine. But it's not like I'm standing there saying, "Hey, Brian, you know, nudge."
No, no, no. Right. If you did that, I'd be like, "Fuck you," you know. But
right.
You didn't, and that's not what you
do. But that's the thing, right? And this is the problem that's going on in the indie space right now. Is that's kind of what's done, right? So it's like if you're buddies with it, you know, it's who you know, right? So if you know people who are at whatever news sites and stuff, then you get traction. Right. And if you don't, then it just falls on deaf ears.
Well, that's why we'll have to stay as indie friendly as ever.
Yeah. So that's kind of the whole reason I undertook this project is to be able to bring that back, right? To find out like what does it take to actually PR an indie game? What do you need to do? And now what I'm finding out is it's very difficult. It's very, very difficult, and it's basically just dumb luck. If your game has to look hella good, let's put it that way, right? It has to be like something that people are already interested in before they see it. Like, oh, I wish we had another Homeworld, and well, Stephanie's making Deep Space Settlement, and you look at it and you're like, wow, it's another Homeworld. Sweet, I know what that is. I'm gonna greenlight it. So.
I really hope that that because they started taking pre-orders earlier, like in the middle of last year, and said that they were supposed to have a playable version like at the end of the year, and they still don't. So it's a little worrisome.
No, they're. I mean, it's like I watch their progress like every day. I'm
following. Yeah, yeah, they're making great progress.
And, you know, I talk to Stephanie off and on and that, but you know, that's another thing with the whole indie scene is there are a lot of people making indie games. So if you follow the hashtag indie dev, there's so many people making stuff. Have you been out and looked at like Screenshot Saturdays? And because that happens on
here
Kagan.
And there. I do see at least the devs I follow on my regular stream, I do see their Screenshot Saturdays.
Yeah. So I've got a new project, right? I bought a domain. Uh-huh. It's called indieaware.com. Because this has been so frickin' painful, and I just thought, well, what can I do to solve this problem?
So it's about clothing that people wear in India?
It's totally about hipster clothing, yes. It's I'm gonna use the funds to make vegan, gluten-free pancakes in the morning and buy some plaid shirts with snaps. Because if the ladies need quick access to my chest rug, then snaps are the way to go, because you can just like rip that shit.
Sure.
Yeah, like Hulk Hogan. But but anyway, no. So indie aware, it's indie awareness, but indie aware was a nice shorter thing, right? And the whole idea is that, and I'm working on the database part. I was like banging code today all day, and it's very frustrating. My God, this is why I don't code for a living. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get there's a form that's on the site. It's there now, but you know, I'm not actually doing this yet. But the idea is that hey, somebody's making an indie game, and gee, I wish that I could get some press attention, right? So you come to the site and you fill in this form that I have that's like a mile long, and then from that form, it's going to generate a blog post. It's going to generate a wiki entry. And then it sends it out to Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and Pinterest. And what's the camera thing? Damn it.
Pinterest.
Yeah, Pinterest and the thing
what's
that
it
Facebook
gonna send
bought. The Instagram. That, yeah. So I've got like all those
social medias
covered. I've already got the accounts.
What is it going to send? Like one of the images?
It'll send
an image
and a link back to the article. It'll be like, you know, Joe Smith, new space game. Blam! Here's a picture of it. And if you click there, then it links back out to all social media stuff. And it's going to have basically this form is very complete. It's like put all your company info, put your contact info, put you know these things. And the idea that I've got is kind of like making a dating site almost, where you know it's like new indie game likes walks on the beach and puppy dogs and wants to have a hot time with a game journalist. So if you'd like to meet my indie game, right? So it's kind of like if you're and it's not set up for like you know the big AAA media. Right, so like if you work at Polygon or PC Gamer or whatever, you're already saturated. You have enough PR stuff, but if you have a small indie site and you just want to get the press releases and you want to meet people that you could interview and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So you'd go there and just be like, "Hey, man, I'm interested in these genres of games," and then it will show you the games, and then you can be like, "I want to talk to that guy," and you can just shoot him an email like right through the site and bypass all the spam bullshit. And you know, because it's sometimes it's tough. The press can't get a hold of the media, and the media can't get a hold of, or I mean, the press can't get a hold of the developers, and the developers can't get a hold of the press because you got to go hunting around. I got a list. My press list is like 300 sites long, and only half of them have I been able to find the contact email for the people. And you know, so whenever I try to reach out to people, I find out I have to go hunt for them individually. Not like, oh, I want to go to PC Gamer. I have to figure out who at PC Gamer writes the reviews about 4X games. And how do I find that out, right? And then once I figure it out, now what's his email address? It's a freaking pain in the ass. right? It's just brutal. Nobody should have to go through that bullshit. Because if you just send an email like, hey, like news@pcgamer.com, hey, here's my press release, call me. You're never going to hear shit, right? Because they only know if you go direct to them and you shake their hand and say, hi, my name is Bob, and I'm making this game, you know, look at it, right? When it's personal, then it's a different animal. And that's how I got the press traction that I did, is because I had to go actually speak to those people one-on-one. But anything that I just, like, threw out press release stuff, complete fucking waste of time. Just don't even do it. Just complete waste of time, like writing up the fancy press release and everything. We got listed on Blues News. We got on frickin' Shaq News and stuff, right? It was just like, oh, here it is. And it was like a blink and it's gone. And nobody noticed, you know? And it was like so much effort, man. I put like a week's worth of effort into finding all the email addresses and curating, like, which sites aren't going to be interested in this, which ones will, and I don't want to send it to people who won't be, and, you know. So all that legwork, and it was for nothing, because the only way that I actually got articles written is because I went to people that I actually knew, and I was like, hey, you know, like, how do I get in the chain here? And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll get somebody to cover that. So, yeah, you know, that's what it comes down to in indie dev stuff. And whenever we had Klifsky on here a couple months ago, and he said,
yeah,
if you're gonna do an indie game, if it costs $100,000 to make the game, be ready to spend $100,000 in advertising, or you're never gonna sell the game. And
he just did a post. He just did a post about how to get venture capital, you know, funding and investing and stuff, which hopefully some people will find.
Well, and we're talking about a Kickstarter now, and Joe's like, well, I don't know if we need to do that because the game's done, right? And I'm like, yeah, but the thing is, you do a Kickstarter, even if we did a Kickstarter for $1,000, right? We don't need the money, but we need the attention. So if we did a Kickstarter and it's like for $1,000, you know, fine. And it gets it out there and stuff. That, and there's some scammy shit that goes on with Kickstarter, and I kind of want to build a honeypot and try to catch some of those idiots. So I have an ulterior motive there too. But it's just the pitch on that is basically like, game's done, and you know, we don't have the artist or the coder or any of these people on staff now because the game's done, but we could add more features. So if we can raise a couple more $1,000, then we can afford to keep these people on staff and continue to push that. Otherwise, you know, they're like on contract for patches and stuff, but you can't keep somebody 40 hours a week when you don't have 40 hours of work for them to do. So then they become an on-call person, right? We'd like to keep them around. So let's do a damn Kickstarter and see if we can get some dough.
That's not a bad idea.
Well, the other thing too, what I found out is a lot of these games that get greenlit, oh God, this pissed me off so bad. I was looking around in the Steam forums, and there's these guys, and they're like, hey, if you greenlight our game, you go there, you vote on the greenlight, and then you put a comment, you know, hey, but, you know, my name, whatever, I love this game, you know, just put a comment that you greenlit it, and then we're going to go through everybody who's a member of our Steam group and commented on the green light to say that they voted, because you don't actually see the names of who voted, but you see who all the comments were. So they're like, okay, if you're a member of our group and you have a comment on the green light, we give you the game for free when we get greenlit. We'll just give you a code. And it's like, what? Well, like you were saying, green light's just totally fucking broken, right? So now it's like, oh, if I get on green light, I can afford to, how many thousand, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, whatever, to get there. We got like 2,500 votes right now, and we're nowhere. We're like, you know, floating around the bottom. And then I see Plunger Commando get, oh my God. But anyways, so these guys, they go on a forum, and they're just like, yeah, join our Steam group, vote on the thing. Everybody's getting a free game. It's like Oprah. It's like, look under your chair, free game, games for everybody. Yay, vote for us. So they're basically giving the game away to get votes. But it makes perfect sense, because once you're on green light, I'll give away, you know, the game's $20, right? So you figure we give 5,000 of those away. That's $10,000, right? Or no, God, that's like 100,000. But anyway, I would give away like that much money to the first 5,000 people. Fuck it, take it for free because we get on Steam, and then I'm going to sell 100,000 copies. So I'll give the first 5,000 away. Fine. It makes total and potent economic sense to do it. However, I think it's filthy as shit because the whole idea is there enough community interest in this game as it stands to get it on Greenlight? And that's why you see so much of this inferior crap, because it's just like, hey, I'll give you this game for free. All you got to do is click this link and click that button. How much effort is that, right? So, sure, free game. Click, click. I don't even know what it is. I don't care. I got it for free. Highly annoying. Yeah, so Greenlight. But Gabe had said, well, like the last two Valve Dev Day things, he said, you know, hey, we're getting rid of Greenlight. And it's like, well, it's not going away yet.
I think they just haven't found an alternative yet.
That's, well, yeah, because you can't just have a wide open gate, right? You have to have some curation.
It kind of feels like they do sometimes, though, with some of the shit that gets on there that didn't even get greenlit. Like what the hell is this?
Well, you know what the trick is? You only have to get greenlit once. Once you get one game greenlit, you can get other stuff. So what you do is, let's say I get a game greenlit, you're my buddy, but you make some piece of shit, you know, whatever game, put it on my label, and then it comes in, it rides my coattails into Greenlight just that way, right? So it's like, yeah. I wonder, there's almost like a sub-market there for, I'm a publisher, right? Like, I'm somebody that, well, like, let's use Klifsky. Okay, he's got games on Steam. He has a relationship, and he can take any other game and pull it into Steam. So if I was Klifsky, I'd say, yeah, you give me 10% of everything you make, and we'll get the game on Steam today by putting it under my account. I'll just take a 10% skim. Really, you know, and at that point, you can be a publisher on Steam, right? It's just like, yeah, I like your game. Come on in. Give me your money. Wow, broken.
Yeah, I mean, Prison Tycoon got greenlit. Remember Prison Tycoon?
Prison Tycoon's kind of neat, though.
From the early, no, the one from the early aughts,
not
the new one. Oh,
really? Yeah.
Yeah, the shovelware you'd find in the back of EB.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
about.
Back in, no, I thought
No, not the new one. I still have to play that shit. But, like, there was a, I'm just looking at this list, this Greenlight update site, which is great, by the way. There was a game called Feed the Space, and that made me think of you, obviously.
Feed the Space, yes.
Feed the Space.
You know the game that most offends me is they have that mech something. It's like Mecha Ace or whatever, and it's a damn, like, interactive novel, whatever, right? It's basically like a choose-your-own-adventure book. You know, you pick an A-B decision at the bottom of the page.
It's got mechs in it, doesn't it?
There's no pictures, dude. It's all text. It's yeah.
What?
So there's this program. It's called Twine, and it's a neat idea. Did you ever read those like choose your own adventure books when you were a kid? Like Lone Wolf and whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Who
so
did?
So
I mean, those
it was
huge.
Meant to be
yeah.
a thing for making those. All right. But then you end up with Depression Quest and stuff like that, right? But all this shit was made in Twine. So it's an engine for that, right? So it's basically like you take pages and you link them together like a flowchart, okay? It's you know, it's a graphical layout of a map, basically. And then you go back to the pages once they're linked together, and then you write your fill-in, right, of what gets you to that page. Kind of thing. So it's a construction kit, basically. It's almost like RPG Maker for interactive novels. Yeah. But it requires no effort at that point, right? So I could make anything in Twine and smack that shit up on Steam, put a dollar price tag on it or whatever. So we're seeing a lot of shovel stuff like that. But yeah, I'm kind of shocked that the prison tycoon, the wow, that old thing. I think the new one is kind of a brilliant game, but I think they need. What they need to do though is make it a little bit of a social statement about prisons being a for-profit business. It kind of already is, right? Because it's like you're encouraged to like shit on the inmates a little bit and, you know, whatever, just anything for the dollar, right? But I think that they should have like side things, like you can bribe judges to convict more people or something, right? You know, real world things that happen. You've read about that, right? Like the judge that was like tied in with like the juvenile detention center. So he was like convicting kids.
God,
you relate to school, get in the jail, right? Because he was getting kickbacks on that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So we should just take people like that. There should be no trial. There should be no nothing. Just take them outside, shoot them publicly, shoot them, and that would be that.
So on a happier note, oh my God, on a happier note, Super Star Trek.
Yeah, what's up with that, Star Trek? I was watching you kind of play it, and I remember way back.
Yeah, so I started doing a Game of the Month thing, because I don't know if I ever told you, but I started the site to play all these old games that I missed the last time around. That's why I started
started Mecha Junkie too, right?
That too, yes. But I had no idea there was a space game resurgence on the horizon that would take all my time away from this. So I'm going to be doing a Game of the Month now where I go back in these older games and play them and do a little series of them over the month and then move on to the next one the next month. And a lot of people have been bugging me about playing 1978's Super Star Trek text game. So that's what I played, and it is esoteric, man. I mean, the first version I ever played of this, I think, was...
Is esoteric like a synonym for terrible? What?
No, it's not terrible. It's not terrible.
I know,
terrible.
But I was just watching you play it, and I was just like, wow, that's painful. It makes me think of is it's like a roguelike mixed with a starship game kind
of
thing.
And
there's
is.
A little bit of text
actually
adventure
have to
in
manage,
there, too.
Yeah, and you actually have to manage your power, and you have to have strategery and tactics. But the first game I played that was like that was, remember Interstellar's Starfleet?
Yes,
remember
absolutely.
That one? Yeah, very similar to this, but, you know, much more refined. As refined as an ASCII game can be, obviously. But so it was interesting to go back even further. Like, I played Trek 73 a while back, which was even more esoteric than this. And this was like, I can barely imagine playing this back in the day. I probably would have. Yeah. I probably would have played the shit out of
what
it.
What was
back the
Interstellar game that you were playing? Was it Starfleet? An Interstellar game that you were playing. It was like Starfleet or something. It was the one that they mixed with Breach.
Oh, no, was that Interstellar?
Yeah, that was totally Interstellar.
I mean, Rules of Engagement?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
I would watch you play that. You know, Rules of Engagement needs to get a reboot, man, because they could do
it
right.
Yes, it does.
Like,
oh, my God. No, that was my first Let's Play series, was Rules of Engagement 2 back in the day, and it's still that game. That game is crazy. It's amazing, but
it's
kind of
impenetrable, was what I was looking at. So,
no, I would say
what's that game that's like a freaking spreadsheet? Is it Andromeda or something?
Oh, no, it's, oh, God, it's not, I'm thinking ASCII Sector, but no, that's the Privateer.
No, this is like a, it's like Master of Orion and Roids, but there's no graphics.
I know what you're talking about. Fuck. Hang on. It's like a crazy... It's like Dwarf Fortress in space.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm typing. And it's got an Aurora. That's it. That crazy ass thing. I've tried playing that like three times. And wow. That game. Yeah, see, I can't even talk about it because my brain is broken. Maybe that should be one of my games of the month for later this year. Oh god, this game is crazy,
dude.
I'm looking
Andromeda 5 game. It's totally a browser game. Why is this greenlit?
What the fuck?
I don't know. Well, it doesn't look terrible.
Ascent is a browser game. I mean, it's also
But why? It's also because you're not selling it now. And it runs in a browser, so it ain't like you're gonna download it. I don't know. It's an awareness thing at that point, right? It's just like we just need people to know that we exist. Therefore, we have to be on Steam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish there was a site that was about indie awareness that you could. Yeah.
So yeah, this month's game of the month is Super Star Trek. Next month is something equally obscure that I found going through my list. It's like Starship Command Adventures Starship is next month's game of the month, and it came out in the early 90s by Future Vision, and it's about an interstellar war where you command a starship.
Wow.
And it looks crazy. Yeah, it looks... Let me put that in the thing for you. It looks crazy. So I'm still working on getting and lining up all the other games of the month. But I think that... I thought it'd be a fun thing to, like, try and focus on one game, older game, that I... Because I've been missing focusing on the older games because of all the new shit that's coming out. And I'm not complaining. That's great. But that's not why I started the site. So, yeah. And, other things I'm working on for the site are money generating.
Oh, yeah. How's that working out?
Well, I'm working on a Zazzle store.
Oh, I was thinking you were just going to get a printing press.
No. I'm working on a Zazzle store for t-shirts and shit. And then I'm going to eventually start a Patreon campaign within the next month or two. So hopefully I'll make enough to at least cover hosting. Because I pay a lot for my host. Do you believe it or not? It's like $40 a month, which is a lot.
Oh,
for
my
me.
God.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Why so much?
Well, the site, because the more traffic I get and the bigger the site gets, because the older it gets, the more memory
we really
uses.
Use that much traffic? I didn't. I knew we had some. How many hits do you get a month?
According to Google Analytics, it's about 16,000 to 20,000.
See, that's not bad, but you shouldn't be paying that kind of money until you're, like, into millions.
No, it would be more than that if it was in the millions.
But I'm just saying.
I mean, Broken Form gets a lot more traffic than I do, and they pay $100 a month. So I mean, but also that the older the site gets, the more memory it takes up.
Yeah, because it's just bigger.
It's just getting bigger and bigger, so I had to pay for more memory or else it kept crashing. So if I can just get hosting covered, I'd be happy. But I'd love to, like, make something off this. You know, like, make something of it. And I hate to say money is a great motivator, but it's a great
money
motivator.
Money is an excellent motivator, I must say.
It's a wonderful motivator, and I hate to admit that, but it's true. And I would love to keep doing this for free, but I would also – I think I could go somewhere with this site.
Yeah.
With Denver's your help, prison, obviously.
Probably. hey, have you seen – The Star Trek Attack Fleet game?
Is that the board game?
Sort of. It looks like a thing. You've seen the X-Wing game, right?
The miniatures game.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they made one for Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like an $80 base set.
Yeah,
something
like that.
Is it called Captain's Chair or something like that?
Fleet,
or is that something different?
I think.
Okay. Star
Attack Wing.
Wing. Yes, I have seen this.
So kind of interesting. The miniatures are fucking hideously expensive.
I know. I just saw there's like a Borg cube just by itself is $60.
I'm wow.
Like,
well, then again, that's your whole army, right?
I guess that's
cube.
True.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems generationally weird. Because it's definitely a next generation kind of Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
I got the same problem with Star Trek that I do with BattleTech. Is like I wish that it had stayed, you know, before the clans. right? Like, I don't like that clan crap. Take your mad cat, cram it up your ass. I just want my Warhammer, and we're good, right? So I think all that stuff, like, just too much future, right? I liked it when it was like the low tech future, and now it's like, you know, there's a high tech alternative to whatever. So I kind of like the classic Star Trek. Old, you know, original series, the Captain Kirk era, right? But the, like, the refit era of Captain Kirk is the best.
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite Enterprise, for example. Yeah, oh, yeah.
So, oh, wow. So there's a lot of crap that comes in this box set, right? Like, I'm looking on WizKids' site. So there's, like, turn counters, you know, shows, like, basically what speed the ship's moving is how it turns. It's a lot of rulers and stuff for that. So yeah, I mean, this looks like almost like a mix somewhere between Starfleet Battles, and then they dumbed it down to be like the Mech Warrior game that they had. But remember that Mech Warrior thing that they did? Oh, it's bad. Oh god, bad. Yeah, HeroClix. There you go. So it's basically like a middle ground between Starfleet Battles and HeroClix is kind of what this looks like to me. I mean, I'm sure it's a worthy game because it's got a lot of pieces, right? But yeah, it's kind of weird. But the ships look cool. They did a good job on the miniatures, and that's really the thing that sells the game, right? Is you want to play with your toy spaceships, but you have to have a game to justify it. Because you look kind of dumb just, like, waving them around in the air and be like, pew, pew, pew. But, yeah. So, speaking of toy like spaceships, that. Right? So, my endorsement goes out to the Starship collection stuff that whoever the heck made.
Really?
That. Yeah. So, those things that are, it's like $20 a month, and they want you to get on a subscription to get them.
Yeah.
That's the Bird of Prey and the Katinga that I've got.
Oh, they look nice.
But I ordered them piecemeal. I didn't subscribe to anything because you can go on Amazon and just get them. Right. But if it's a super popular one, you're going to pay a little extra. Like the original Enterprise, they were selling for like $60 or something. It was really $20 if you'd have got it then, but yeah. But it's I don't know. I'm selective about crap like that, right? But it's those were worth it. And that's really – I was hunting for any kind of D7 that I could get because I've got the Diamond Select, like, big Starship. They're, like, 2 feet long, right, the Enterprises. And I've got, like, those, like, on my shelf, and there's no Klingon ships.
Right.
And really the D7 is, like, my favorite Star Trek ship, and they don't make one. They make a Bird of Prey. But I just really don't like the Bird of Prey. It's not my thing. It just seemed like it was interesting when it showed up in the movies. I was like, oh, yeah, cool, Bird of Prey. And then they never showed another Klingon ship. It was like, oh, all Klingon ships are Birds of Prey now. No, they're not. You know?
That's why you need to see Deep Space Nine, because they got D7s.
Yeah,
oh,
I did. I watched the I didn't watch the episodes, but somebody made like an hour-long supercut of the Klingon War, and I sat watching.
Oh, God. Was that great or
what?
Yeah,
that was good stuff. They skipped a lot of stuff. There's a lot of harsh cuts because they chopped any kind of story stuff out that didn't involve Klingon talking.
That's good, because I want you to see it and not be super spoiled at some point.
So it was very interesting, though. It was I couldn't quite follow, like, the Klingons showed up. The Federation is having they're kind of worried about the people coming through the wormhole, right? The whatever the hell their name was, the Dominion. And then they're worried about Dominion coming in, so the Klingons show up, and they're like, we're going to fight the Dominion, and the Federation's like, no, we're not, and then the Klingons are like, no, we're going to fight you, right? So they start attacking Deep Space Nine, and then the Dominion shows up,
and
I don't know, it was weird, and then I just kept waiting, like, when's the Borg going to show up, because that would just complete it. It would be like Battle of the Five Armies, and then the Hobbits would arrive, and...
If I recall, the Borg are never in Deep Space Nine.
Thank God.
They only mention them once, and that's... Remember in First Contact, the movie.
Yeah.
Where there's the big fight against the Borg ship, and the Defiant is there with Worf. That's how Worf gets on the Enterprise, you know, tough little ship, all that shit. The only time they ever mention anything about that on Deep Space Nine is like, the Defiant is still under repairs after the Borg incident. And that's all they say. Yeah. They don't give it any other... They totally throw it shade, like, whatever. Our ship is damaged because of this fucking movie. Fuck you. You know, they totally throw it shade. It's great. That's all they ever say about it. You never fucking see the Borg on Deep Space Nine. And it's great.
Good because Star Trek got too obsessed with the Borg. Because it was just like...
Oh, Voyager ruined them.
It's a fucking boogeyman.
Voyager ruined them, yeah.
So...
See, that's what Deep Space Nine did right with the Dominion, because they never, like, castrated them and made them like, oh, what cute little Borg. They never did that with the
Dominion.
Well,
the thing was, like, Voyager was the last Star Trek stuff, right, other than Enterprise. Right?
Yeah.
So I was looking at some some Voyager stuff, and they were like, yeah, it's 20th anniversary of Voyager. And I'm like, what? It's been that long? It's like, it's been 20 years since there was Star Trek on television? Really?
About. Yeah, I mean, it's been 22 years since Deep Space Nine premiered.
Oh, God, crazy. I never... It's super... yeah, crazy. So I think what I wanted, and of course it'll never happen now because, you know, J.J. has changed the Trek verse. But whenever they did Enterprise, I had always hoped that they would go back, especially after... I guess it was that Star Trek. What was the one where they had Cochrane and you know, the first warp flight and everything? Zefram Cochrane and
that was first contact. That was First Contact.
Okay, so after First Contact, I wanted a Star Trek show that was like right after that. Like, here's how we're gonna start the Federation.
Well, they kind of tried to
do that with Enterprise, but the problem was that the ships in Enterprise looked higher tech than the ships in frickin' Next Generation. It was like, what? So it should have been about like those first steps, you know? It's like, oh, here's the first time we ran into Klingons. That didn't end well. You know, things like that. That would have been great, you know, just to have those firsts in there. And the ships... like the Enterprise, the first Constitution class, that should have been the first ship that looked like that, right? So the NX, whatever it was, the NX-1 or...
NX-01 or something.
That looked like a more advanced Enterprise. And then it's like, oh, so like 50 years after this was over, then they made this ship that looked bad. You know? So... It's just, I don't know. What I'd have done is I'd have went somewhere between, like, Arthur C. Clarke's 2001 kind of ships and the Star Trek. Yeah. Like, be somewhere in a quasi-middle ground of that. And, and it would be about, like, okay, now we're going to colonize Mars and we're going to, you know, meet Klingons and meet Romulans for the first time and whatever. And you could have had some really cool intrigue with the Vulcans because... The Vulcans have not always played on the level. The Vulcans tell you what they want you to know, right? And kind of sheltering us or whatever. But that was always like an underlying theme in Star Trek. It was like, Vulcans are our best friends. However, you know, it's kind of like we got gamed a little bit, but it's because they don't trust us. But they know that our hearts are in the right place. But it's like, you know, it's like, well, you guys are too young to know about this adult stuff out here in the universe. So we'll only just tell you about, you know, we don't want you to know where babies come from. So we'll get to that. But anyway, yeah. So I just think a lot of missed opportunity there. They could have explored that stuff.
Yeah,
I want
you're
a nice
right.
Low-tech,
who the fuck?
Very early space, you know, like the very early interstellar travel stuff. And then you could get back to the where no man has gone before shit, hardcore, you know, because it's just like, wow, nobody has been anywhere yet. But
right.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. Enterprise just lost me because then they were like, let's have a time travel war.
Seriously?
Yeah, that was like the whole second season of Enterprise was the time war.
Oh, I never made it past... I never made it too far past, like, the half,
it was
first
like,
half, the first season.
It was fucking stupid. I just... You know, it's just like this dumbass thing that they whip out that you could have told so many cool stories, but no, we have to Doctor Who it, and oh well. Right. It just shows that the writers are lacking, right? It's like we can't work in these constraints of the original series, right? So we have to do something else. It's like, no, explore the thing that we like because it's the thing that we like. We want more of it. Oh well.
I mean, Enterprise and Voyager weren't great.
That's why
we can't
have good things.
Yeah, but Deep Space Nine, man, I'm telling you, you haven't seen it yet, so you do have Trek you haven't
seen.
That's true.
I know there was the Founders and the...
Oh, the Dominion War is so fucking great.
What is the deal with the Dominion? Like, so there's the Shapeshifters, and then there's other bad people.
The Dominion is a multi-species conglomerate. Knack in the chat room, Knack Ronim, he wanted from Enterprise's people trying to hold together a ship that gradually turns into a space junk heap as they travel. That would have been cool. Give it more of a Star Wars, like, lived-in feel, you know, instead of all shiny and shit.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, hey, this is our first ship, and it's kind of shaky. That would be good.
That is kind of nice about Deep Space Nine is that the Cardassian station they inherit isn't the nicest and cleanest and shit. But the Dominion are you got the Founders, who are the Shapeshifters. They're in charge of the Dominion. You have, you have the middle guys, the Vorta. They're like the middle managers. They do a lot of the administrative tasks. They handle a lot of the frontline stuff with the soldiers who are the Jem'Hadar. And the Jem'Hadar and the Vorta are all genetically cloned and engineered.
Okay. The Jem'Hadar are the guys with the weird ears, right?
The Jem'Hadar are the guys with the purplish guys with, like, the weird hair and shit. The Vorta are the ones that have the strange kind of ear things, but they're more pale.
Yeah, okay, so there was, like, one guy that looked like Rob Lowe. And he was, like, continuously on there.
Jeffrey Combs, probably. Oh, the acting on that show? You got some actors like Jeffrey Combs who does, like, four roles in the show. And there's an episode. There's one episode where he does three different roles, like, within the same episode. He, like, plays three different recurring characters. But the nice thing about that show is even the minor characters really get fleshed out. I'm telling you, man. My favorite Star Trek character of all time, the Taylor, Garrick. He is amazing. Yeah. And it's got the darkest / best episode of Trek ever called In the Pale Moonlight, which is just, oh my God, I've watched that episode like 40 times. Just that episode. Because it's so fucking good. I'm serious. I will look for it right now, the list of things my friend sent me to, the only episodes to watch in Deep Space Nine. That is what I'll find for you. I will forward that to you right now. You should get started. I'm not even kidding. But I guess, do we have anything else to talk about?
I think we've run out of things. The show's over.
I think we have. We talked about a lot. So, folks, thank you for listening to our randomness. It's random because I kind of took the holidays off. I needed a break, and which is fine, you know. And so, but I didn't plan any podcasts. So, who wants to plan shit over the holidays, you know? So I just left people alone. But for the next 3 weeks, we have guests. Next week, we have the developer of Star Drive 2. That's going to be fun. And then we've got the developer of Soul Trader after that. And then we've got Into the Space? What's it called? Into the Space? What's called. In the Space? Into the Space? We got guests for like the next few weeks. So if you have an idea for a guest you'd like to see, because we got the Star Drive 2 guy, because enough people suggested it, hit us up at hail@spacegamejunkie.com. I'm losing my mind. I gotta go sleep. But Jim, thank you for being an awesome co-host as always. And folks, we'll see you next time. Have a great day/night wherever you are. Bye bye.